The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called Samuel again. "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he got up and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. My God, may God do so to you. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. Our second reading comes to us from the Gospel of John in chapter 1, beginning in the 43rd verse. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. you pray with me? Oh Lord, as someone wiser than I once said, may we do a lot less, oh Lord, hear my prayer, and a lot more speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servants are listening. There are so many things, so much noise in the world, so much chaos. But in the silence of this moment, may we hear your still, quiet voice. And may we know without a doubt that it is you who speaks to our hearts. Oh God, you have called me, and I have said, here I am, send me. And so I ask in this moment that you would use me to convey your message to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. As I prepared for today's message, I was struck by these words from 1 Samuel 3. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. These words hit me like a mallet to a gong. The word of the Lord was rare in the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. You can say that again. The word of the Lord is also rare these days. If someone says to us, God spoke to me and said, this is what we're supposed to do, this is what I'm supposed to say, we usually think that person who says that is arrogant to think that they can hear God so clearly while others cannot. They're either arrogant, crazy, or just plain ignorant. We meet God spoke to me with skepticism. This is somewhat because God indeed can be difficult to hear and understand. There's this still small voice that enters our mind, and we're left to question whether it was the word of God or it was simply our own inner voice in the form of hunches or preferences. And we like to think that that voice is God. What does God sound like? How can we know when it is God speaking to us and when it is not? Is the issue that God is quiet or that we aren't listening? And if we do hear God, are we faithful enough to do as God calls? These are the questions all Christians are led to ponder on our journey with God through Jesus Christ. Of course, God speaks to us in worship, prayer, scripture, and our conversations with the faithful who have wisdom to share. But still, God is difficult to perceive and far more difficult to follow. God calls Samuel by name. Samuel thinks it's his wise elder, Eli, calling him in the night. Three times Samuel goes to Eli and enthusiastically replies, here I am, for you called me. And at the third interruption of his slumber, Eli realizes what's going on. He realizes that God is speaking to Samuel. He tells Samuel to go back to bed, and when God calls again, answer, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel does as he's told. God awakens him once more, calling him by name, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answers God. God tells Samuel what he's going to do. And the next morning, Eli summons Samuel. He knows God has spoken to Samuel, and he wants to know what God has said. I mean, if you knew someone had a direct line to God, wouldn't you want to know every detail of what God said to them? He wants to know every last word. The passage tells us that Samuel, he's a bit hesitant. He's afraid to tell Eli because who wants to hear that they have fallen out of favor with God? And that's exactly what Eli and his sons have done. But Samuel does the brave and faithful thing and doesn't hold back from Eli what was said to him, even though it will hurt Eli and even though it may not be met with warm reception. The passage ends thus. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. Here is the reality of when God speaks, at least as far as I understand it. In our humanity, we think that God will speak to us and call us to something that isn't far outside the realm of our comfortability and talents. It will be something perhaps we haven't quite done before, at least not like that, but seems like a natural progression of things. Thomas Merton refers to this as a kind of unconscious defense against grace. We don't like to see our flaws, our errors, our sin staring back at us from the looking glass. We may, in a general sense, like the idea of grace being extended to us. We like to hear, Jesus died on the cross for you. Grace is extended to you. We like the general idea of that. But we avoid accepting the reality of those moments when we are in need of that grace. We like to think we are equipped for what God throws at us and that God would not take us somewhere with which we are unfamiliar or call us to do something that, quite frankly, scares us because it requires a leap we're afraid will end in free fall rather than on solid, holy ground. In the words of Marianne Williamson, when you ask God into your life, you think God is going to come into your psychic house, look around, and see you just need a new floor or better furniture, that everything needs just a little cleaning. And so you go along thinking how nice life is that God is there. Then you look out the window one day, and you see that there's a wrecking ball outside. It turns out your foundation is shot, and that you're going to have to start building it over from scratch. I have often been asked, how do you know when God is speaking to you? And my answer is always some version of this. I know God is speaking, at least I think I do, when I am completely humbled and torn down to the studs. When I'm being asked to go and to do the thing that scares me most, where I will most assuredly be made into something entirely new, something that looks a bit more like Jesus. And when I understand just a little bit more what the grace offered to me in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross means and how much I need it, which then compels me to share it. That is when I know God is speaking to me. Jesus calls his first disciples saying, follow me. These men see and hear Jesus, the Son of God. the way that he speaks with such authority, the miraculous things that he knows and does. But they don't know Jesus' endgame. They don't know exactly where they're going or what they're going to be doing, but they're just curious enough to go along for the ride. Oh Lord, may it be with me. May it be with us, according to your word. Amen.